Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now Ben Blatt, staff writer from Slate, joins us. He created the maps that you might be seeing shared around online a lot, showing a state-by-state breakdown of the popular language groups in different states. He has one, for example, on the most commonly spoken language other than English or Spanish. In New Jersey, that happens to be Italian. We'll talk about that finding and more right now. And if you haven't seen these maps, you can follow along through a link on our site. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. If you have a question about them, call in on the air, 212-433-WNYC. And Ben Blatt of Slate, welcome back to WNYC.
It's great to be here.
So in 43 of the 50 states, Spanish is the most commonly spoken language after English. So you took those two out and looked at the third most spoken language in each state. In New York, for example, it's Chinese. Where's the data from, and what are we talking about? Fluency, or how do you measure third language?
So this is all from the census reports, and specifically the ACS, which is the American Community Survey. And essentially, this is part of the census that they don't ask everyone in the United States these questions, but they go around and ask a lot of people these questions, and particularly with the language, you're asking, what language do you speak at home? And if it's a language other than English, it gets reported. And these are the kind of the map has a summary of these. And there are a few things you should know when looking at these maps, which is this is all reliant on what people answer. So, for example, with Chinese, some people just report they speak Chinese. Some people may say I speak Mandarin or Cantonese. And sometimes the way people report their own languages could potentially skew or change the results.
Now, on Facebook, several of our listeners expressed skepticism that Italian is really the third most spoken language in New Jersey, as it's listed, because the state has such a large East Indian population. What's your response to that?
So if you look at the census numbers, there's around 90,000 people in New Jersey who listed themselves as speaking Italian at home. And if you were to look at those Indian languages, there's a lot of people who definitely speak those languages, but sometimes it's Urdu, sometimes it's Punjabi, sometimes it's Hindi. And those numbers, while they're all kind of large put together, I did not group any languages together. I didn't, presume. And, those languages are not dialects. Those are distinct languages. So Italian is the one language that has the most speakers in New Jersey,
right,
other than
English.
And
that's people who actually speak Italian, not people of Italian heritage, which, most third, fourth generation Italians, there's so many of in New Jersey, they don't speak Italian at all. So I wonder if this indicates that there are about 89,000 people who are still recent immigrants from Italy, even though we think of that more from the Ellis Island era.
Right. This is all self-reported, and, that may be a while ago, but maybe you get some older households, some households that are still kind of in large families, and maybe they still speak Italian at home, and that's what we're seeing here.
But 61,000 speak Gujarati, 51,000 Hindi, another 50,000 Urdu or Punjabi. So taken all together, the more recent immigrants from those areas speaking those languages kind of dwarf Italian as the third most spoken in New Jersey if we were to group it like that. And speaking of Gujarati and Hindi and the related Indo-Aryan languages, you have a map of those too, which is really interesting. And we see a lot of diversity in our tri-state area, in that one, Connecticut, more Hindi, New York, more Bengali, New Jersey, more Gujarati. What does that tell us?
Well, I think these maps are interesting. This is, again, a map that I broke down only looking at the Indian-Aryan languages and the languages that the census kind of categorizes in this larger language group. And most of the United States is Hindi, but there are a few areas, for example, the southern United States with Texas and Louisiana, those are more Urdu speakers. In North Dakota, Montana, for whatever reason, Nepali is more common. I'm not an expert in immigrants from India by any means, but I think looking at these maps, and probably if you really wanted to get a better sense, looking at the data can tell you where from India different people are moving within the United States themselves.
And on the national map, quite a lot of Vietnamese. It's the third language in Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, who would have guessed that? Behind English and Spanish in Texas comes Vietnamese, also Washington State. And we were surprised in the office because we would think there are more Chinese, Filipino, and East Indian immigrants in the U.S., any of those, than Vietnamese. So what's your take?
I think, again, this goes to a lot of things, what people report as their languages. I think with Vietnamese, And again, I don't have the numbers from the census to back it up. I don't know if these numbers even exist, but these are languages that people speak at home. So it's possible that there's certain immigrant groups that come over and are more likely to speak the language, and some may within a generation already be speaking English at home. And it just so happens that in Texas, Vietnamese is larger than any of the, you know, Filipino languages or any of the specific Chinese languages.
A few of the states had various Native American languages as their third. And you have a map of Native American languages, no matter where they placed for a given state. And Adam, a listener posting on our Facebook page, asked, how did Sahoptin, a language of the Native Americans of the Pacific Northwest, end up as New Jersey's most commonly spoken Native American language? Got an answer for him?
So again, this is a bit of a mystery to me. I think if you look at this map, you see there's huge parts of the American Southeast that speak Cherokee, and in the Southwest it's almost all Navajo. And then in the other states, it's a very big mix of Native American languages. And in these northern states, the number of people who speak any Native American language is fairly small. I think within New Jersey, it's under 1,000. And Sahoptin, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, is a bit under 100 speakers. So this may be, you know, a large family that moved over at some point and still speak the language or something like that. So although, you know, that's not a language from New Jersey, and it is a surprise to see it there, there's no real stronghold of Native American speakers in New Jersey to replace that.
Can you say, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee in Sahoptin? No, I guess. And you also put together a map of African languages, and a lot of the country has Kru, Igbo, Yoruba as the top language, and the census does list those three as a single language. Accurate, or what does that tell you?
So the census listed those three as one language. I've gotten some comments about that, but I was really bound by the census data. But again, if you look at that map, you can see some patterns that, you know, if you're not too familiar with African immigration to the United States, you know, recent African immigration, you may not notice in California, Nevada, and Washington, these western states, there's a lot more Amharic, and, you know, Kru is very popular in the Southeast and elsewhere.
I should know this, but are those Western African languages or Eastern African languages?
I believe Kru, Igbo, and Yoruba is from Nigeria, and I'm unsure about the others.
Right, and that makes sense. I think there are more, certainly in the New York area, I think there are more Nigerians than probably any African country, a lot of people from Ghana, but West Africa in general here. And before you go, you're also the author of another post that some of our listeners might have seen about the pitfalls of viral maps. So even as you traffic in viral maps, you write that data maps can often be misleading. So what's the first question you yourself ask when you look at such maps that other people share with you online to know if they're trustworthy?
So these maps, you know, they're even my maps, you know, they're not intentionally going for any pitfalls, but if you kind of glance at them and don't ask these questions, they can be confusing. With my own net maps, if I'll point any criticism back at me, I think, for example, the Chinese question is a bit tricky because some people see Chinese and they wonder, does that include Mandarin? Does that include Cantonese? And unless you read the post and you see these maps without the post, it may be a bit confusing. So a lot of times with these viral maps, you have to ask just where is the data coming from? In this case, it's from the census, so that's a pretty good data source. But again, you know, this is just labeling the most popular language in every state, so sometimes these margins are slim, sometimes this is a very small sample. So these patterns may seem stronger than they really are, and it's kind of looking at an election map for data that really is not usually looked at that way. It's usually kind of looked at these gradient maps produced by the census, and these are much simpler but sometimes don't give you as much data.
5 seconds. What are you looking at next?
This map actually looked at languages, so I think one map on Slate within the next week is going to look at specifically immigrant origin as reported by the United States. So kind of similar, but also a bit different.
Ben Blatt, staff writer from Slate. We'll be releasing some more maps to study carefully. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And you can keep this conversation going on our Facebook page, where people are talking about it a lot, facebook.com/BrianLehrerWNYC. And coming up right after the news, it's the Leonard Lopate Show. Among his guests, the actor Neil Patrick Harris, talking about moving from television's How I Met Your Mother to Broadway's Hedwig and the Angry Inch.